We've had Sashi batting leadoff for the last couple of weeks, so I guess I'll go. You know, I think I'll just start by saying I'm thrilled to be here. Really am. I'm certainly excited about the challenge that football brings, but I think most importantly, just excited to be back here in Cleveland. You know, I had the chance to be here with the Indians back in the mid '90s, and it was a really, really special time in my career. I think both professionally and personally. So the chance not only to try something different and take on a unique challenge in the NFL was appealing, but what was really appealing to me was the chance to come back here to Cleveland and to do it here for an iconic franchise and for a group of fans that, you know, through my 20 years were second to none. So really excited to be here.
Yeah, I echo the same sentiment. Really humbled and honored to have the opportunity to lead this franchise. Appreciate Dee and Jimmy's trust in me. And looking forward to a returning championship ball club and organization to the city of Cleveland and certainly the Dog Pound, number one fans in the NFL, as Paul said. So can open it up to questions at this point.
Sashi, why do you feel you're qualified to be in control of the 53-man roster?
This is my 12th season in the league. I've been in and around a lot of strategic decisions on terms of how to build rosters. I think one of my strengths also, obviously, is being able to, I shouldn't say obviously, but is to be able to bring people together and form a consensus, take information and make good strategic decisions. We'll make a series of those, and in time we will see the results translate on the field.
Paul, the word that everyone's locked in on is analytics. Can you give us an example of how that translates to football?
I've had to ask myself that a couple times in the last few weeks. You know, I think about analytics, I think, much more broadly than others do. To me, it's not really about numbers or algorithms. For me, it's really just about a mindset. And the mindset's about trying to use information to make better decisions, you know, especially in the face of uncertainty, which is what, you know, all these professional sports are really about. And this is something that's been around in football forever. I mean, when we time players in the 40-yard dash, or we test them in other things at the combine, to help us make a better decision in the draft, that's analytics. When you're deciding what play to call on third and nine, based on what the other defense does, what your capabilities are, that's, you know, you're using analytics to help you make that decision. So I don't think it's going to be something that's, you know, truly novel. But we're certainly going to be seeking out, you know, not only information but better information to help us make better decisions in all phases, whether it's with personnel, whether it's player development, the draft, et cetera.
And I think collectively, just to piggyback on that, I think collectively in terms of across the organization, we want to turn over and create every competitive advantage we can. So Jimmy talks about turning over every rock. Certainly, we want every piece of information we can as we make our decisions moving forward, whether it's personnel or, as Paul said, in other areas of the organization. And so we view it as very additive to what we do. It won't be dictating our personnel decisions, but hopefully informing them.
Sasha, you already have a couple like analytics guys. At least they're in the media guide listed there. Are they, or Paul, were you not using their stuff, or what's the deal here with them?
We do have some talented, very smart, young analytics folks with analytics backgrounds, and we've got a pretty robust department in place relative to other NFL teams, probably not relative to baseball. Paul can speak to that a little bit more. I think where you're heading is probably Paul's role a little bit and why bring him in. Paul, you know, impressed us when we met with him in his ability to articulate and execute on setting visions for championship ball clubs. He's done that. His track record speaks for itself, and I'm sure you guys know it. And we felt like where we're heading in our vision, which is to return the Browns to a championship organization, truly organization across a number of disciplines and departments, that he was going to be a tremendous value for us to have, and will be a great teammate. And over the course of the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks that he's been here, he's certainly proven that he's capable to do that and will provide us great value moving forward. So his role is in we don't see Paul in terms of being limited to analytics. We see his ability to build championship ball clubs, put strategies and processes in place, and build a Brown system that can drive us towards winning and ultimately championships is his real strength.
Yeah, I think just
stuff just not particularly used, or the guys that you have here, I'm sure they gave you material. And then what?
Yeah, some of it's been put in place, and Terry, you know, so a lot of this stuff obviously is proprietary, so we can't roll too much of it out. But yeah, we have absolutely learned a lot internally, and we do plan to integrate it as we move forward.
Yeah, I think just... Sure. So I think specifically to my role here and answering your question is that I'm not really here to be an analytics guy. I think my role is, as Sashi said, is really about sort of the organization as a whole. I think when you look at great organizations, whether they're sports franchises or anything else, they do something that separates them from the competition. And usually that something is a process or a set of systems that differentiates them. So for Apple, that might be their design function, right? For Amazon, it might be how easy they make shopping. For UCLA, under John Wooden, it was, you know, the process that started on the first practice of every day when he told them how to put on their socks and lace up their shoes, right? It's a little different everywhere. My job here is really to help us create and implement those processes that we think are going to give us a sustainable advantage, you know, over time. So has my approach sort of changed or will it change from sport to sport? In that sense, no, because that's kind of what I've always done is try to create those systems, those processes that create a sustainable advantage. Are there nuances to this game and this sport that I'm going to have to learn? Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
Well, your example on 3rd and 9, what plays will work, that's something that on Monday, as the game plan is put into action, that's the information they have, or does it? Are you in on the game planning, or how
it depends
far
on
go?
If the play works. I think.
Yeah. you know, no. I think this is. I was really referring to what coaches have done for years already, you know, and for decades in terms of trying to figure out how to game plan against a particular team. So, I mean, to the extent that we can be a resource for the coaching staff, you know, we certainly will be, but we won't be dictating anything like that.
When you were Sports Business Journal, when you were one of the 40 under 40s, you had spoken at the time about liking to do both the business side and the football side. And you said you were hoped you'd never get to a day where you were just kind of pushed to one side. What in your mind, why did you decide to go ahead all in on the football side?
Yeah, so I think for us, when we stepped back and looked at where we needed to take our operation, obviously we've had a tremendous amount of success with Alec at the helm on the business side here. And we needed some more focus and I think leadership on the football side. And, you know, being an organization team first guy, I think that's really what drove it. And I'm confident that, you know, we'll be excelling here on the football side shortly.
This is a league for you. How do you think you won? You talked about Jimmy's trust. How do you think you won his trust?
So first, not to be combative, not a huge, huge leap. Actually, over the last couple of years, you know, I've taken on and spent the majority of my time on the football side and involved in the high-level kind of strategic decisions and determinations that we've made here. My role, as you probably are aware, as I'm sure Peter has informed everyone, has largely been on salary cap, management, contract negotiation, roster strategy, draft day, trades, things like that. So not an entirely huge jump, particularly because we're going to supplement and bring in a vice president of player personnel. It's really just ultimately at the end of the day having control of some of the decisions and leading the department overall. So I feel like it's a natural transition to me. Actually, it probably makes me a little less scatterbrained during the day so that I can focus on one area of the organization and dig a little bit deeper there.
Athletes, the players that you guys have in the locker room, always talk about having chips on their shoulder. Everyone seems to have a chip on their shoulder for one reason or another. Do you guys like the idea that there's a lot of people out there that's saying, this is like way out in left field? You have two guys that are kind of running the operation that don't necessarily have a traditional football background. Do you like that challenge, and do you like that you're hoping you're going to prove people wrong?
Well, it's something I'm accustomed to. no, look, that doesn't provide any extra incentive for me. And look, I quite frankly, I understand the skepticism. You know, I'm hugely passionate about football. I you know, I played football in college. I really wanted to work in football. My first job was actually in the CFL. All those things qualify me in absolutely no way whatsoever, you know, to work for an NFL team. So I get it, right? And I think, you know, not only I, but we're going to have to go out and prove that, we can belong and that we add value at the end of the day. I think what we're trying to create is similar to what we would create on the field. You know, on the field, you want to be able to do everything. You want to be able to pass. You want to be able to run. You want to be able to tackle, all these different things. Well, we want to create an organization that off the field can do everything too. So we really want to try to build in sort of complementary skill sets. So like Sashi mentioned, we definitely want a personnel guy, you know, to be with us. Hugh obviously is going to be a huge influence on a lot of the things we do. But we're not all clones of one another. You know, all of us bring a little something different to the table. And, you know, by creating a team that way, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, we end up with a much more dynamic solution than we otherwise would have.
But we are keeping score.
I've been commuting to New York the last 5 years from California. I think the original intent when I took the job was that I would probably move, and then it ended up working out that I stayed out there, and we realized that the commuting actually worked pretty well. So my guess is we're going to continue to do that here at the beginning. In the summer, my family will probably be out here with me, but I'll be here for the most part, almost as if I were living here.
How did it come for you to make the leap from baseball to football? How did you get connected with Jimmy and Sashi and
wind up there? I think Sashi can probably tell some of the story as well. But my what I understand is that Jimmy and Dee and Sashi, Alec and others had gone out in sort of a quest to gain knowledge, sort of outside of football. I think they tried to do it within football, but their competitors probably weren't all that forthcoming, with information. So they had visited with a handful of different executives from baseball teams, basketball teams, I think hockey, and maybe some others, just trying to gain insights on what to do. And so I met with them, shortly after the World Series and after they had reached out to me, and it just sort of snowballed from there. I don't think it was their intent at the time, and certainly wasn't mine that this is where we would end up. But that's how it was created.
It's not like you were targeting Paul. You just kind of grew.
No, not at all. And as Paul said, we want to go out and try to again uncover every competitive advantage. There's a tremendous amount of learning as an organization you can do by talking to others that are in similar situations, and sometimes very distinct. Something I plan on continuing to do in terms of learning from people in other professional sports and business generally in terms of how to put together great organizations.
You guys talk about new approaches, ways to do things. Sashi, last summer, the team was just handicapped with a ton of like soft tissue injuries. A lot of times when you have like new looks, it does look with the kind of the sports science stuff of it. What do you guys, can you talk about anything that you're trying to unveil there, do things differently to try to get your players ready to stay either on the field or get ready to stay on the field?
Yeah, so we have hired a high performance director, Adam Beard. Adam was with us last year. He understands that we were all frustrated by the soft tissue injuries. Last year, we will put in place significant resources to identify why those problems and injuries occurred, and put processes in place and systems in place to make sure that we address that and don't have a repeat. And that really is his job. And obviously, with our strength and conditioning coaches and our trainers, we hope to have a much better summer, spring and summer, with respect to soft injuries, and give our players the best possible medical care. And as they call it now, prehabilitation that is available to them.
Are there any changes within the strength and conditioning staff? I don't know where you guys are at there. Or is it going to be the same group that comes back?
We are hiring a new strength and conditioning staff. There may be a few coaches on the strength and conditioning staff from last year that stay in place.
Sashi, can you say what your initial thoughts are about the quarterback position here? Hugh has been quoted extensively saying we need a quarterback. Do you agree with that, and is that priority number one?
I don't think Hugh's comments, and I don't want to speak for him, were targeted at anybody on a roster necessarily, but we do need in Cleveland, I think, as you all know, the success of any NFL franchise goes with the ability of its quarterback, and we need a guy that can be here over a period of years and drive continued success. Listen, excited about having Josh in the building. Johnny, obviously, is on the roster. And, you know, so we also had Austin and added him last year and extended him. Good young quarterback, great work ethic. Excited about the three guys here and potentially adding more until we get to the point that we know we have a franchise quarterback here in Cleveland.
What role will each of you guys play in identifying the best way to move forward, specifically as the quarterback?
Well, Paul can, you know, certainly speak for himself. My role, obviously, at the end of the day is to work with our personnel group and coaching staff and identify what we have, what we need, and get to a place where we identify draft prospects, free agents, and guys on our roster to get to the best possible decision. So I think that probably speaks for itself, Paul.
Yeah, no, I would say I think it's our role to try to be as exhaustive as we possibly can in that search. And maybe, you know, maybe the solution is closer than we think, or maybe it's in free agency, or maybe it's in the draft, or, you know, but we'll be, I think our duty is to explore, you know, every avenue and every possibility.
Well, Josh has to, as I think you all are aware, he's applied for reinstatement. He'll go through a protocol there, and then if Josh is able to clear that and come back to the roster, we would sit down with him and figure out where he is physically and mentally. And move forward. But prior to that, it would be premature for me to comment or determine how we might use them or think about them.
I'm curious, when you sat in these coaching interviews, mm-hmm. what was that like? I mean, were these guys buying what, I'm sure they had questions for you about what's your role and what you're bringing here, and you're talking to, you know, guys that have spent their whole life in this game and are at a big point in their career. What was it like? What was the reception? How did they accept what you were saying?
Oh, I think they were all open, right? They wanted to be the head coach, right? No, look, this is something I've dealt with my entire career. Look, I think there are actually a lot more similarities than differences between what I've been doing for the last 20 years and what I'm going to be doing going forward. You know, ultimately, these games are about people. They're highly competitive guys. These are people who've been in the industry for a long time. When I was in Cleveland, I was, you know, working with a lot of people who had been in the game longer than I had been alive, right? So I needed to figure out how to learn as much as I possibly could from those people, and also hopefully in time, you know, earn their respect. So for me, during the course of the interviews over the last couple of weeks, it was as much a learning process as anything else. I was trying to learn as much as I possibly could. When we did explain our roles and our backgrounds, when it came around to me, I usually started with, okay, you ready for this? just because, you know, knowing it's untraditional, but I think it's look, I'm self-aware enough to know what I don't know, and right now that's a lot in this space. So I really want to just try to soak up as much as I possibly can, and, you know, hopefully that came across in the interviews.
Yep. A few years ago, there was supposedly a much publicized analytics study of college quarterbacks eligible for the draft. I assume you were around and involved in that. What did that process entail, and why did the decision ultimately go against the guy that the study favored?
Well, I hope you can respect, obviously, not going to reveal, you know, the results of our studies. We do have some really talented young folks here in the building that do tremendous work in terms of providing us objective data about what college prospects, you know, might pan out to be in projections for draft eligible players. And we'll rely on those moving forward. Not going to be able to go back and comment on decisions in the past.
I'll say this too, just one quick thing about it. I think it's true in baseball. I think certainly true in football. The sort of underlying fundamental principle of these industries really is uncertainty, right? And we're doing everything we can to get our arms around that uncertainty. And sometimes it can be really hard. And even with the best process in place, the best ideas, the best intentions, we're still going to be wrong. Right, we're still gonna have some picks that don't work out. We're still gonna try some things that don't work out. That's the reality of it. This isn't about, you know, having some system that's a crystal ball that tells us exactly what's gonna happen. But hopefully we have processes in place, and not just with numbers, but, you know, processes in general that, you know, if we do them time and time again, we're going to start being right more often than we are wrong, or maybe just right more often when it matters, or maybe limiting, you know, the size of the mistakes that we make. But the reality is, there, you know, we're not going to be perfect, you know, no matter the study or anything else. This, you know, it's part of what makes these games fun is the uncertainty, right? It's a drama without a script, and you know, and that's just what we're trying to get our arms around. But we're never going to get it completely under control.
When you spoke with the Browns, and Sasha, you can jump in on this too. You know, again, analytics aside, it seems like it's a kind of a whole new way of looking at things, or at least partially. To me, when I hear that, that tells me some of this is going to take time. Have you gotten any kind of assurances from Jimmy that you guys will get some time? Because this may take more than a year or two to kind of do some of these things, and the track record hasn't been for a very long time here.
Right. Well, I know the acronym, you know, in terms of what the NFL stands for, so I'm sort of fully aware of that. But no, look, I think, again, it's a mindset, and it's one thing I really wanted to be sure of before making this leap, because I agree with you, it probably will. I don't know how long it'll take. I can't sit here and say, hey, we're going to have this thing figured out. I know I'm confident that 12 months from now, if we sit down, you know, next January, we'll be a lot better than we are today and a lot further along. And hopefully 12 months after that, we'll be able to say the same thing. But I don't know where the tipping point is where it'll really kick in and make a big difference. But I think Jimmy and Dee really want to do this right. And it was one of the things that made a big impression on me when I was meeting with them, that they were genuine, they were earnest, and they really want to get this right. And they don't want to keep changing things, because they know ultimately that doesn't lead to success. So I think there is going to be that mindset here. And look, hopefully it'll happen sooner rather than later, you know, for sure. But I don't know how long exactly that'll be.
No stone left unturned process. Let me give you a specific example of something you could analyze. Well, you analyze such things as every year there's a turnaround team in the NFL. It goes from anywhere from 3-13 or 5-11 to playoff contention. Will you analyze very specifically in a detailed way the number of teams that have done that, say, in the last decade, and you know what they've done to go from 4-12 to a playoff contention?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a great example. I mean, one of the learnings we had in baseball was that very rarely is progress linear, at least on a sort of surface level. So, for instance, you know, let's say in football terms, let's say a team's won four games. You know, very rarely do they win 4, 8, 12. It's usually 4, 7, 5, 12, where you didn't necessarily sort of see it coming, but there was this fundamental change of state that occurred, or this tipping point that then made them a completely different team than they were previous to that. Our job is to find what are the indicators that will lead to that fundamental change of state. And I think we've already done some work on that, but that's certainly something we're going to continue to do. Is, hey, what are the underlying fundamentals here that make a team take that leap? Because that's certainly where we want to be.
And to that end, I would just follow up. Excuse me. I think one of the first steps in pursuing, you know, kind of that change of state that Paul talked about was going out and finding a head coach that could change the tone here, set a tone, and change the culture, so that our players were going out with a little bit more confidence on Sunday, expecting to win. And in Hugh, we feel like we found that. So we absolutely will look at this and study and do study this quite a bit. And the pieces will get in place. As Paul said, this is going to be a process. Hiring Hugh was a big first step, and we've got plenty more steps to go.
Different guys who come through here have had different philosophies about how to build a team. Joe Banner's key point was you need a championship caliber quarterback, and you need really good pass rushers to affect the other quarterback. Ray wanted to build with the Lions and have a really good defense and a really good running game until you guys got that quarterback. So what is your big picture overarching, you know, mission statement on how to build the roster you want?
Well, I've already alluded to the fact that we believe we need to establish a quarterback here. That doesn't mean that we have to find him off the roster necessarily. But we need to listen. We need to go out and find impact players at impact positions. And we will sit down with Hugh and the coaching staff when they get here come up with the shared vision with Paul, make sure that everybody understands and clearly communicate to the personnel, staff, and coaching where we're heading, and move from there. And so different, I think if you ask all those guys, Paul and Joe, they would say, Joe and Ray, they would also say they do want a quarterback. Joe would also say it's important to have the offensive line. So there's different ways to build it. We'll explore all paths and choose the one that gives us the best opportunity to build towards a organization that has really sustained success. So not only do we get to those 12 wins that Paul referenced, and hopefully more than that, but that when we get there, we're in position to stay there for a long period of time.
So, there have been all these different guys that come through here, sat up there, and they've had different approaches. But if you lay out, this would be for your analytics guys, I'm sure you look at the draft over there. There's a commonality of, in general, they've messed up so many drafts over so many years by so many GMs. And I guess you would just say, well, what makes you guys any different?
Terry, I think you raise a good question. And the proof is going to be in the pudding for us. We know that. You know, at the end of the day, as Paul said, we can't guarantee success. What I can guarantee you is we are competitive as hell. We're going to turn over every stone, keep biases out of our decisions, and make sure that we make as informed decisions as possible every single time we can. We have some talented people in the building. We'll be adding some more, be working collaboratively together. And I think one of the strengths that I have is to be able to filter through all that information and get to the right decision at the end of the day with the support of the entire organization.
And I think sort of along those lines, too, I think one of the things that's really important is that Sashi referenced that shared vision. I can't overstate the importance of that. When you have this shared vision, it really can help dictate a lot of your decisions. So while some of the decisions, especially in the draft or something like that, may not work out, the decision should make sense, at least align with that shared vision. And I think those are a lot easier to live with because you say, okay, this didn't work out, but it is in line with what we're about. And if we start making decisions that are not aligned with that shared vision, then that's a real problem. And I think that's where you can go, you know, 2, 3, 4 years where things just don't work out, where you're throwing darts, you know, and with each decision, as opposed to trying to make this is just one decision in a group of many that are all aligning toward the same thing.
What can you guys do as an organization to address all of the off-the-field stuff that we keep seeing about Johnny Manziel? And are your hands tied to a certain extent? And what is the plan going to be? Last year, we know he checked himself into rehab. That supposedly was his own decision. Can you guys intervene in that way? What is the plan here? And is that a prerequisite for him to get himself together off the field before you guys can start to count on him again, perhaps as a quarterback?
Yeah, so I think you probably hit the nail on the head here a little bit. How much can we do? And I think, you know, for Johnny, he's an individual and he's a man, and he's going to have to obviously own a lot of this, you know, in terms of his future career. Not going to comment on the off-field stuff now or go into some of the internal conversations we've had with him. It's important that he comes back. I think he understands perfectly the circumstance that he's in and where he is in his career. As we move forward, our expectation, as we talked about upstairs, is that he comes back ready to go and is focused on being a great teammate.
Part of what your Mary Kay's question, I think, is you establish the culture for the team, what you expect from your players, and how can you establish that with a guy who is doing the kinds of things he's been doing? Where does the intersection come in?
Yeah, so Hugh talked about this as well. I think you guys probably bombarded him with a few questions when he was here. But, you know, in all seriousness, I think we set an expectation for our team and hold them accountable. And some of that's off the field, some of that's on the field. And that's one thing that I am confident Hugh will do, is set a set of expectations for our players every day, every practice, every rep. What we expect from them and hold them accountable to that. And organizationally, we'll do that, and certainly I have no doubt that he will be doing that on a daily basis.
The GM search or whatever title you want to call it, how much influence will Hugh and Paul have on roster decisions, and whose responsibility will that fall on if a player doesn't work out?
So
if it doesn't work out, it's right here.
They've made that clear. We figured that out over the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, no, absolutely. They've been involved in the process so far. We have met with a handful of candidates, actually a couple handfuls of candidates for our personnel guy. We hope to wrap that search up in the next week or two and make a hire and a decision there. That person will also be very involved in personnel decisions and driving our personnel function in collaboration with me and Hugh and Paul. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, Paul and Hugh will both have, you know, significant influence over our decisions. Again, I do have ultimately the decision-making authority over the 53, but I think anybody who's worked with me understands I want to listen. I want to make sure that everybody's input is weighed as we make the decisions that will be Brown's organization decisions, not mine, not Paul's, not Jimmy's, not Hugh's, but Brown's organization's decisions moving forward.
But you make the final. I mean, let's, you know, you're talking about kind of a utopian thing where everyone arrives at the same decision. Obviously, you know, everyone's good. Everyone, you talk about you have a building of competitive people, and they really feel strongly about one player. Is it, are you going to be the final guy that says, look, this is where we're going. I'm sorry.
Yes, no, that's my function, and I think, you know, that's a role that I serve well, and I enjoy actually making sure that everybody's voice is heard, but that we also get to decisions that make sense, as Paul referenced.
Two more, we're going to wrap.
Analytics is not something that's necessarily groundbreaking. I believe most professional teams have an analytics department. What has the potential to be groundbreaking is how much it's used. Realistically, how much weight will analytics carry in the decision-making process?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that yet because we haven't, you know, been in these discussions. We also don't know, you know, exactly what some of the analytics are going to tell us or how convincing it might be. I think, you know, for me, what really makes a difference, as you noted, everyone's doing this now, and not just in sports, but in everything. You know, every time you use a credit card or pull out your cell phone, you know, someone's keeping track of that data and doing something with it. For us, it's about how you actually implement it. Right? How can you get it? How can you have it be part of your system so that it actually improves your process or improves your decision making? And I think that's really the rub. You know, is how successful you are in terms of integrating it into your overall process.
Not to spoil any secrets, like I said before, but in baseball, you kind of came up with Paul. Excuse me. You kind of came up with the whole thought process that OBP was important, and you know, other statistics kind of made of the value of a player more noticeable than other statistics. In football, is there a number like that or any example that you could give where analytics play a role in statistics? Maybe there's a number that people tend to value that isn't as valuable, something like that?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Look, I don't think there's a silver bullet, and there wasn't in baseball either. In fact, you know, I joked earlier, you know, Branch Rickey was talking about on-base percentage in the 1940s, so that even wasn't necessarily a novel concept, but it's, again, it's how you sort of integrate that information into your decision-making process. Here, you know, with 22 positions on the field where you're asking them to do different things and you need different things out of those different spots, you know, there are going to be different challenges. So I don't think there's any one, you know, silver bullet out there. But we're going to try to learn as much as we can about every single one of those positions and try to figure out what it is that's truly meaningful, you know, in terms of their performance. And, again, sometimes this might not even be related to numbers, you know, but there may be other characteristics that are really important.
Sashi, when will you meet with Joe Thomas and how are you going to sell him on it?
I've already met with Joe. He and I sat down at the end of the season, I think maybe that Tuesday or Wednesday after the Steelers game. Joe and I have had several conversations over the years. Good young man, and we enjoy him. Here, obviously, a lot. He's a great asset to our organization on the field and off. One of the few guys that stays here in Cleveland, takes care of his little girls. And I've seen him a number of times out in the community. Joe is, like us, very competitive. And I think, you know, his questions to us were largely focused on how are we going to win. I talked to him about what our plan was, what our strategy was, and assured him that we were going to be doing everything to pursue winning here as an organization. You'd have to ask Joe how satisfied he was with the questions, but he's a guy that, listen, he's going to be a big piece of what we do moving forward, has a tremendous amount of insights that we will glean from.
Were you confident in what happened in the
meeting? I'm sorry.
Were you confident in what you heard back from him?
Yeah, I was. And again, this has been a process. It's not like Joe and I haven't had conversations before. Yeah.
As you
looked around at candidates to interview for the personnel job, have organizations been able to block guys from interviewing with you because you have control of the 53, and how have you gotten around? Do you feel comfortable that you can get around that and find a good candidate?
Yeah, so we've already interviewed a number of very talented personnel folks. You know, I was explaining a little bit earlier that this is an odd calendar period for the NFL. At the same time, teams are going out to recruit personnel staff. It's also the most critical time for personnel groups at kind of incumbent organizations. And so when we go to a team that asks for their director of college scouting 4 months before the draft, you can imagine what a team says. And under NFL rules, if they don't have control of the 53, they're not obligated to let them out. We anticipated and expected this, but it won't keep us from getting a really talented vice president of player personnel.
Who's it next week in Mobile? Like with players, you get a chance to sit down with players. Are you guys doing it? Are your scouts doing it? Who's in charge?
Yeah, Hugh will be involved. Some of our scouts will be involved, myself as well.